Daytime Confidential podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, note to General Hospital, Kung Fu Courtney never has and never will be Cassie Newman, John Abbott, or Jillian Andrazi. Stay tuned. Jubinville, welcome.
Hello. We're starting off with a rant.
What the fuck?
Joshua Baldwin, welcome.
Welcome. Hello. What was that?
Jillian Bowe, welcome.
It was some bullshit is what it was. We feel the same way, but damn, okay.
Jillian Bowe, welcome.
I just said my welcome, so that's that.
General Hospital decided to treat Kung Fu Courtney Barbie like she is the second coming of John Abbott, Cassie Newman, and Jillian Andrazi this last week. As
well, okay, no.
Better than Alan Quartermain.
You need to
Well, yeah, there you go. She's definitely not Alan Quartermain.
You need to do it GH related. They did her like she was Alan. They did her like she was BJ. They did her like she was Lila and Edward. I was like, wait a minute. And then you at least... Memo to continuity people there. We know when Courtney died. We know how old Spencer is supposed to be. But for argument's sake, he is supposed to be 19 now. That's what you people have been hitting home. You should have covered up the death year if you're going to convey that. They used to do stuff like that before. They're just like, fuck it. I'm like, what?
Some longtime listeners tweeted me and they were like, Luke is going to love today's episode. And I think Dan from Geek Confidential also tweeted me is like, you're going to love today's episode. And I was like, what was it? Did they sneak in a Helena sighting? I did not realize that they were being sarcastic and that Courtney was going to be the entire episode of the entire I did not realize that Courtney was going to
rant and can't do it. Mm.
I did not realize that Courtney was going to be the emphasis of the entire episode. Mike, did you love the Courtney Kung Fu Barbie tribute on General Hospital?
Okay, all right. You're killing it now. You're just killing it. Jeez. Go ahead,
no,
Mike.
No, of course not. I didn't like Courtney, so I didn't really understand the point. We've never really talked about her before or, you know, since she's been gone until she came and ushered Mike to the upper room. But other than that, no.
I mean, to be fair, I mean, we only mentioned Courtney because of Spencer. So
she is an afterthought on the history of General Hospital.
Like I was saying before I was interrupted by you, we only mentioned Courtney because of Spencer. So to be fair, that's when we only remember her. But I do have to cry foul when they made this whole episode. I was like, what is this? Like, it would have been okay if you had Spencer have a moment. If Spencer's little storyline was he wanted to see his mom's grave and he is just flipping out because he can't, and you know, I would totally get that. And I'm just like, Spencer, I want Trina to just, I understand, I feel bad for you, but you and your white privilege, boy. Because I'm like, Spencer treats jail like it's a country club. Anybody can pop.
Doesn't his daddy own that jail?
He owns the more hardcore one.
He owns prison. He doesn't own the jail. Sorry. There's a difference. And just treating it like a country club. And they need to address it because you made that whole big thing about, driving while black or while being black when you had Portia and Jordan and Trina say something. You're going to have to say something because, listen, you know, I love Spencer. This is nothing. I don't understand why I have to preface this, but you have some slow people out there. This is nothing against the young man. He is doing a phenomenal job. I love Nicolas Chavez. Yep. I think he's a great actor. It's a good find. That's a good man, Savannah. Some people will get it. But anyways, see, you did. But the fact that they're making, you know, they're not having somebody tell Spencer, you got a rap on the fingers. I mean, they've had... They've had Victor do it. They've had Ava do it. But the fact that Laura could sit her bitch ass there and be like, you know, Spencer's going through a tough time. They need for someone to drive it home. You did a crime, sir. You're not a child. So you do. You have to do the crime. And the fact that you are just, woe is me, that is you for the crime that you committed where you should have been put in prison is ridiculous. And I need for Trina to drive that home to him.
Speaking of Trina, Sydney and Michaela is leaving General Hospital. It was announced. Jillian, what'd you think of the news?
Listen, I saw some rumblings and I'm like, no, did a little digging and I was like, you know, I'm not going to lie. This stung a bit because we've seen this young lady just from start to now, you know, until her finish. She has been fantastic in that role as Trina. So it's going to sting a little bit, but, you know, little mama, you know, the young queen that she is, she's going, she wants to focus on her education. That's the story. Now, I'm going to preface this. If this is the case, go ahead, young queen. You do what you, you know, do what you need to do. You know, when she got, when she got accepted into schools last year, she made this little mock. It looked like a little mock magazine cover. She had all the schools listed on there. A few of them jumped out at me, and I was like, she had Howard University on there. And then she also, we know Howard is in Washington, D.C., and she had my alma mater on there, Clark Atlanta University. I don't need to tell y'all where Clark Atlanta University
where?
Is.
Where? No.
Oh.
Anyways, we're going to let Uncle Pawpaw have that. So I thought, oh my gosh, she's really, I'm like, she's going to go away. I was like, no. I'm like, young lady, you march your ass over to UCLA's office. But she says that she wants to focus on school and, you know, kudos to her for that. Now, the other part of me was like, if I find out that this is some bullshit, it's going to be fire and brimstone rain upon their souls. Because I'm like, if this is BS, I'm like, you know, if they don't want to accommodate her, I'm like, you know, James Patrick Stewart is filming a show and y'all are accommodating the fuck out of him. But she says it's school, so salute to her. She's going to do great things. And then they have a replacement.
Tabiana, let me just make sure.
Yes, Tabiana Ali. She, you know, I'm going to give, you know, you know how we do over here. We give you the 30 days. When she hits the screen, we're going to see how this plays out. You know, you had some people a little bummed. They were like, are we ever going to see? We're not going to see a Sydney's Trina and Spencer kiss. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, yeah, but whatever, you know, like, c'est la vie. Little mama wants to go and finish her education. So let's just salute her.
Speaking of first 30 days, Mike, what did you think of Tanisha Harper's debut as Jordan Ashford?
I thought it was pretty good. I was surprised to see her, you know, bounce into the hospital all chipper and back on her feet and healthy. I liked the dynamic she had with Laura and Anna, and I felt like this was a little bit of a throwback to their original history where they were kind of working together, and I like that because I think Jordan with Brianna was a little bit lost in the shuffle, and she was more involved with, it was more about her romantic life than her cop life. So I think that, you know, I kind of like this start for her.
Josh, what'd you think?
I thought, yeah, I agree. I mean, she seemed solid when she came in, but she hasn't been on for that long, but yeah. We're about to figure it out. Because she about to get thrown into all of it because Stella did not mail off those divorce papers.
I'm glad they remembered that Threadway. Yes. I hope they forget the other Threadway. I hope I'm not surprised. I hope they forget the other one, which is Trina's father is. I don't want
that's
it.
That's stupid. They need to stop.
We don't want it. No.
But this, I like this. I like this sort of mess. I like the idea that. There are Curtis and Portia, who have, to me, very little chemistry, moving so fast into this, and then the divorce papers haven't been filed. And it's just a mess. I like it. But
and nobody, like, you would think see, that's why I cry foul, because I'm like, nobody notified you that it was like that. You get a notification that you're not divorced anymore. Y'all didn't. Nothing. I'm like, y'all are just like, we signed the papers, we put them in, so it's gone. Like, you get the notification to show that you're divorced. Like, that's why I'm just like, what's going on over
now,
there?
Now, maybe they'll figure this out before all this mess, because did anybody else see Portia and Drew on screen together this week and the chemistry they had between
Yes, they did.
Mercy.
Yes, they did. Kevin Matheson has some good chemistry over there. He had chemistry with Britt. He had tons of chemistry with Maxie. He has chemistry with Portia.
Chemo.
He has it with Sam. We don't want him with Carly. Carly just needs to sit down somewhere. Like, no. Even though Corte likes it to be the Carly show, no. We don't want it. We don't want it.
It's also gross.
It's just
What did you think of Tanisha, Jillian?
I thought she's a good find. She hit the ground running. We, you know, we have the standard operating manual over here, 30 days. So far, so good. You know, she ain't do much in it. Like, she, you know, they had her reestablish relationships with people, which was good. So I'm here for it. We just need to see how it plays out some more. So, yeah, I'm fine. You know, she's a good find, you know. That show, they just pick the wildest cast, like, people to replace them, if it's short term or long term, from the kids to the adults. You'll be like, what the hell is going on here? Like, even if it's a temporary fix, but this is a good, you know, she seems like a good find so far. So, like, we're hoping, fingers crossed, for the next 29 days she does her thing.
The reverberations of Peter's death continue. It involved everything from Laura and Jordan and Anna thinking they've figured out what Victor's up to axe throwing. Josh, what did you think of how that is playing out?
I'll tell you this. When you said Peter's death, I thought, my first thought was, who's Peter? I really thought that, and I thought, okay, that's a good thing. I'm starting to forget already. You know, I like it when all the women get together in a group, but all I could think about was you this week, Luke, when Carly, Sam, and Olivia are there throwing axes. I'm like, this is not quite as bad as Ava and Nina from a historical standpoint, but, like, Olivia and Carly, I get. I just didn't think Sam had great relationships with either one of them.
Sam's improved sort of like Elizabeth in recent years, they've written that, but back in the day she didn't.
No, like, well, Sam and Olivia don't mind that because Sam is skipping her son. Carly, I don't like it with Carly because Jason, before he went to the great rubble into the ground. The great rubble on the ground. Jason, you and Jason got into it because he kept putting Carly's family and Sonny above you. You left him for that. I can't picture Sam. I cannot picture Sam, I should say, being, you know, I guess they're trying to show growth, but no, Sam should not be helping that bitch out. She should still be a little bitter. She should still be a little stank about it.
And now, if they had played it in a way where they were in on their own joke, and Sam and Carly kind of playfully had the axes that we should be cutting each other's heads off with these, or some reference would have been funny to, like, show us that we know there's still tension here.
Like,
but anything.
Everybody keeps asking Carly how she's doing with Jason. Carly has never once fixed her funky mouth to ask Sam, how is Danny doing? She's not asked Elizabeth. I don't recall. Someone will tell me. Tony Ann, you're off of probation. Don't let Luke tell you, scare you away, girl. But she could tell me, if she listening. She could tell me if Carly has said something. It's always Sonny and Carly, how they feel about what happened with Jason and Monica to a degree. She's not asked how Jake is doing. She hasn't even said, well, Sam, how are your kids dealing with this? Because the little girl took a scout, looked at Jason as a father figure too. She must be really confused. Jason's dead and then Drew's back. Like, how, it's all about Carly, and I don't like it. I don't. They need to fix that. Like, you know, when Liz Cortez go on vacation, y'all just need to fix that.
Let's talk a little bit about The Bold and the Beautiful.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Mike?
Okay. No, we have to talk about when Brooke rolled up into Taylor's office and she's like,
see you next Tuesday.
That's the Brad Bell that we know. Come on now.
Crazy man.
That's pussy Brad Bell. Come on now. He's back,
like,
in it.
That's the man we know. That's the Bradley Bell we know. I'm like, we need more of that, sir. We need more of that. Go ahead, Mike.
What'd you think?
What was the question? No, I'm just kidding.
He didn't have one. He just said Bold and Beautiful.
Bold and Beautiful. Yes. The drama continues. Let's see. I still don't like Thomas and Steffi. I thought Bill and Wyatt and Liam was kind of funny, although Wyatt looked like he was completely over the conversation. But it was nice to see Bill back and slamming Ridge and telling it like a different side of the story about how he always runs away.
He's telling the truth. He's talking for the audience.
Yeah. And then I didn't mind. I liked Thomas and Sheila. I thought that was an interesting little thing because Sheila, I don't know why she just can't keep her own secrets to herself.
That's
but
not
now
Sheila.
I understand her motive. Her motive was if she could reunite Taylor's family, then they would grace her with the present of her, the gift of her son and grandson. Because to me, it always should have been Steffi that she went after. But I sort of see in a roundabout way why she went and ruined Brooke so that Ridge would go back and everybody would be happy. So I don't know. I still think Ridge is a punk, but there's
Bill
some
said.
Definite chemistry between him and I see more chemistry between him and Taylor at Krista Allen's Taylor than I do with him and KKL.
Jillian last
week. Oh, you mean Torsten K?
Yeah.
Okay, because when you jump from Bill to
although that would be interesting. I want to see them in scenes together.
They need to address that. Like, they should have Bill be like, hey, shooter. And she'd be like, I didn't mean to. You know, they have to address
but
it.
They're
like,
not even acknowledging that she's an alcoholic.
You know, if y'all could say, see you next Tuesday in that roundabout way, you can have Bill say, hey, shooter. Hey, you know, what's going on, girl? Hey,
Jillian, last week, Josh teased that Bill was going to be back. What'd you think of having your boy back?
I enjoyed having him back. We need more of it because the show is just so one-sided. You don't have to make it so one-sided for your agenda to come across. We can have other things going on. Like, I just feel as though Bull does this all the time, and then when their talent goes on to do bigger and better things, they look stunned. Like, I feel as though that's going to happen. You know, Darren Brooks, to be fair, he's a little, you know, he has a lot of stuff going on. He's doing a lot of projects. I don't know. Like, Katrina Bowden was doing some stuff, but I'm like, you're going to mess around and those two are going to be like deuces. You know, you go mess around and Heather Tom is going to be like, I'm going to do this directing full time. Don Diamante, they scooped up with another show. Or he may be scooped up by primetime. It's like, come on, I just don't want them to do that. But I enjoyed seeing Bill and, the boys. But what do you people think about Thomas finding out?
I like it. It gets messy. I like it.
But they go ahead. No,
I was just going to say, I like the idea that when all this comes out, that I want Thomas to tell Steffi because I want both of them to be messy and to have hidden it because they've already hit his cell phone. They already blocked Brooke. He already blocked Brooke from coming in and she knows that. I want, because they have been so parent trappy, 14 years old, my parents are together. I want them to go down too. I just don't understand where Finn is. This whole thing should be about Finn. Like,
child, he's too busy making Liberty Mutual commercials.
He is making Liberty Mutual some money, yes.
Yeah, you know, the thing about Thomas is Brad tends to bob and weave with him. And when I mean that, I mean 1 minute he will have Thomas as a dark and Bad Boy. He will have Thomas as a villain. But then he will do some interviews. And when he sees that fans are like, oh, fuck you, Thomas, he will turn it around and he'll say in interviews, oh, Thomas is not a bad guy. He's just misunderstood. You know, he's, and then he will do something to redeem Thomas. You know, he could be a bad boy and still have great, he could have areas of gray and still be, you know, Bill does it all the time. So you can have Thomas being like, since none of his boys are like that, since none of the Spencer men are like that, I think it'll probably be Will when they decide to recast him into an adult. Since there's nobody on the canvas as a man to do that, Thomas can be that person. I just, you know, him knowing is, it's, I just, it needs to play out a certain way. Like, I want for it to happen for when it comes out, Brooke just let you know, you have to, they have to go back to history. I know they don't like the history over there. I'm like, Shelley Altman, did Shelley Altman sneak into that writer's room? I did not like history, but they have to have Brooke light into those two, Taylor and Ridge, Ridge especially. Brooke has to let him know, when your son was harassing my daughter, trying to make her his girl, to be with him, to get her in a relationship, when I had my druthers about that, I listened to you. I allowed you to pressure me into giving that boy a second chance. When he was still doing his shenanigans, I still gave him a second chance. I even let him stay in my house. And you see what he's done. And for like, it needs to be ramifications or repercussions for his shenanigans. They need to stop acting like Thomas, you know, just does a little bad thing. But at the end, like, come on, like, embrace it. He needs to embrace it. I mean, Steffi, it would be interesting if Steffi found out about it, because I'm just like, if Steffi found out, what if she finds out and that's how they write her out? Because, you know, she is she's pregnant, right? Jacqueline McInnes Woods is still having a
Or Sheila could blackmail her and that's how she gets to see that grandbaby.
Or, you know, Steffi finds out, she's happy about her parents, but she's just like, no. They remember, I don't know, Steffi's addiction. And she's like, no, Thomas, you know, she's playing with someone's sobriety. And she goes to tell Brooke, and like, Sheila locks her up in the cupboard somewhere. And that's how they write Jackie about pregnancy.
Mike, your girl Abigail came back from the island. Air quote, Sarah came back from the island, and Patch and Kayla came back from the island on
Everybody's Home. And then Kristen took off again.
Kristen said, y'all ain't gonna catch me flipping.
What'd you think?
I actually liked it. I enjoyed a lot of the day stuff. I was waiting all week for Sarah or Renee and Anna to come face to face.
Oh my God, that was so good.
Because Anna just was trying to be sympathetic, and then Renee was just needling her, and she just got really mad and let her have it. So that was kind of fun, and poor Tony's caught in the middle, doesn't know what to do. And I did think of Luke when Kayla and Steve were like, well, she got to stay here. Keep her safe. Bye. And, you know, because I thought, you know, Luke likes it when everybody's in a house and everybody's going to be there. Abigail's going to be there. Chad's going to be there. Tony and Anna are going to be there. Renee's going to be there.
They ain't got no budget, so they all better
I know, but it's okay. Johnny the Devil's there. So that'd be interesting, too, because I'm a little tired of the Devil storyline. But I will say that it'll be interesting to watch how he reacts with Renee around. But I don't know how long they can perpetuate that delusion. And you know, I know people are like, doesn't she look in the mirror? Can't she see how old these people are? Blah 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 blah. And I'm like, she's delusional. She sees what you don't know what she's seeing in her head. You don't know if she's seeing like herself in the mirror, if she's seeing Renee's face in the mirror, because you don't know what Kristen really did to her. And she sees Tony as a young man, and she sees Anna as Anna. I just, like, I think people are overthinking this. She's psychotic. She doesn't know.
She had a psychotic break, so she does not with the help of Kristen, so she don't know where she is. Shit, a bitch don't know where she is. Let it go.
Jillian, what do you think? The mansion's different, but she doesn't. It's not. That's not what she's seeing. She doesn't see it.
You would think she would be like, "What is this?" But she's, you know, she does not see that. She still thinks that she is like in the 80s, I guess. Yeah. So yeah.
When Anna said something about Don Craig going to the mailbox and disappearing, I howled because I didn't know that's what happened.
He was just gone.
I was like, okay, that was funny. My only druthers with that, well, Anna was like, you know, Anna's my girl, and she was just like, over my dead body. And Anna was like, say less. I went to kill that girl. I was like, that's Anna.
And then she went over and badmouthed Gwen to Jack, and it was just like, she just...
My only gripe about that episode was, Kayla, I don't want Kayla to even give me cold medicine. No. She sucks as a physician. Yeah. You know this girl is a little cuckoo. You can do an involuntary hold when you're like, well, she's not harming anybody. Girl, she thinks that she's somebody else. You can put her somewhere. You can call her mama. That annoyed me. I was like, God, yeah. Kayla. I'm like, God, shut up.
And how'd she sneak out of the hospital in the first place?
That annoyed me. And then with Ava, I'm like, you're talking like, I'm like, oh God, they're doing the talking to themselves thing. I never liked that on Days when they, you know, when Sammy used to be all, I'm going to get you, Carrie. Get me what, Sammy? I'm going to get you a present. I hate it. Ugh. Some things should just let go. Ava is in that interrogation room. We've all watched Law and Orders. Law and Orders on y'all's network. The interrogation rooms, we all know interrogation rooms are rigged so they can watch your behavior. Mm-hmm. Ava literally said, you know, them hoods better not snitch on me.
Yeah.
I'm like, nobody's watching this. Gwen sneaks in there. Nobody is watching this. It's not bugged. Like, they need to have a throwaway line where they said, the cameras are down. Like, y'all,
See, but you remember, this is long going for Days, because remember when Jack was bursting in there like no one was, like, watching?
They don't even have a guard outside the door.
They don't care. That room is come and go quickie mart.
Poor Charles Police Department's the same way, to be fair.
At least they put up the pretense of the officers allowing them to go in. At least
I'll give GH this. When Jason, even up to when Steve Burton was still there, Jason, whenever he'd be in that precinct, they'd be like, Jason, you can speak freely. Jason would be his name, Stone Cold. Jason wouldn't say nothing. Mm-hmm. You're not like, you know, every once in a while, you know, every now and again, he would say something, but other stupid people would go in there and just be like, girl, so this what happened. If you're going to have them in the police precinct, you need to have at least a throwaway line to say the cameras are down, something malfunction, something. It don't take that long.
Or the attorneys need to be better employed, so the attorneys are in there with them, so that there's some premise of that.
No budget over that day.
And there would be a two-way mirror, right? I mean, they would be able to look inside and see, gee, why is Gwen in there?
Yes.
Let her in.
In the throwaway line of the cameras are down. They busted. They got hell, you know what? I just thought about something. It could be a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Budget cuts. That's why I can't. Budget cuts. And you just look at the camera and we could be like, we got you. Like, come on. That is my gripe. When y'all gripe about some stupid shit about... Yes, you already know. I'm like, nobody cares about that. But this is a police precinct where Trask saw Lonnie, because of said footage, just get up, walk out of there with Kristen. That's why Lonnie got ass arrested and thrown off the force. The same thing should happen with white woman Ava. I'm like, why y'all only doing that to the sister? And the sister's maybe sort should have, could have, possibly love a friend, Kristen. Let's go.
Josh, what did you think of Tripp finding out about Chanel and Allie from Johnny?
That's how you do a reveal. You don't hold on to it. Sometimes you just smack it up. I thought it was great. I thought you gave poor little Tripp He gets 5 minutes of bliss, 5 minutes of joy before his world gets turned upside down.
Again.
And I like all of it. I think so you suddenly have this. I mean, they've always been there, but it just sort of occurred to me. Look, at there's a middle 20 set now of actors in these roles, and they're interacting in this quad, and I just absolutely love it. I love that Chanel gonna take Johnny for everything that Damara is worth.
Yes.
I have a side thought here. I just want to bring this up. I hope, and I don't know if they'll ever go here, that in the midst of all of this, that Paulina and Chanel take them for everything and end up in charge of Damara.
Jack, yes!
Paulina being CEO and all of it would be stunningly interesting to me.
I would love that. I love the reveal. It's spicing things up. So when Johnny comes out of his rapture child, like, it needs to be, it needs to be like a serious like showdown. Like, the boys need to be like, we're gonna fight for our woman. You know, we're gonna fight for our women, and the women are just like confused on who they should be with, you know, like, ugh.
Like, though, that Johnny is finally the thing that I needed to see or feel or whatever is the struggle, you know, because we saw Marlena try to fight the devil, and I needed to see Johnny try to fight the devil. So that's kind of that progression of, you know, Ben and Sierra talking out the stuff and Sierra just being like her mom and dad. I need evidence.
Yeah, that was very
I need proof. I need this. This doesn't make sense. Blah, blah, blah. That side of Sierra, yeah. I had no trouble with. But I like to see that Johnny's struggling. So now this is probably going to start moving forward, which I kind of needed.
Yes, it needs to be a nice triangle. And, oh, God, I hope, listen, it needs to be a nice triangle.
Well, don't you think it'll be a quad?
A quad or whatever. I don't even, you know, some days I forget about trips. I was like, when he found out, I was like, oh, you like, here.
The whole thing about this is I'm more interested in whether or not it's a Johnny Chanel alley triangle than whether or not quad is there.
You know,
Trip is involved like, in a quad. He's the lamest. He's one of the lamest young adult set leading leading man characters in daytime.
But you have to have that character.
Just going for a moment. I wouldn't say that.
I wouldn't either.
He's boring. They've made Trip boring as they've made with Allie. I said on here when we first heard she was coming here, I said, I don't want both Horton kids to be saccharine sweet and, you know, upstanding and, you know, pure as the driven snow. I did not want both. I mean, we know Will did his shit, but the judgmental Hortons, I said, I did not want both to be like that. I at least wanted one of Sammy's Horton kids to be a fucking Hellcat and one of her Damara kids to be a Hellcat also, but also a good Damara. What did they do? They made this girl, you know, when they had to, I gotta call, you know, listen, if I could call Dan O'Connell for saying Felicia will do anything with her beat ass, I'm gonna call Ron out. Ron said in an interview, she's like Sam, and I'm like, well, I'm glad they stopped doing that. She's just, I'm like, you're not like, she's boring. It's another boring Horton kid. Like, when, like, I want them to spice it up some. Like, when Johnny comes out of his thing, I, you know, I would like for Allie to be a little bad girl, for her to be like, my brother, you know, I'm sorry for you. I'm sorry to this man. Some people get that and some people don't. I'm sorry for this man. You know, I would love for Allie to be like, I'm sorry, Johnny, but Chanel mine now. Like, tough titty for you. And she played dirty. She taps into her Horton. She taps into to Sammy side of her.
Brady side in her case.
You know, well, yeah, because the Horton side would just be, she'd write a love letter or a sonnet and be like, I hope you pick me something dry. Oh. But I want her to be a bad girl.
That does sound like something Jennifer would do.
It would. Child.
Potato salad with a raisin.
Jennifer writing a sonnet sounds terribly appropriate.
Shitty potato salad with raisins.
Before we move on to The Young and the Restless, I want to go around the circle real quick and get your guys' thoughts on the revelation of what we all expected, Craig and Leo. Mike, you first.
I didn't want this to happen, but now that it has, I'm just going to let it play out. I didn't really get a sense. Brady and Chloe had plenty to say about Leo. Leo has not really spilled all the tea on everything that everybody ever did to him, like rolling him up in a carpet and throwing him in a trunk.
I have a feeling that's coming.
I know it's coming because the boys are back next week, and I just think watching this play out is going to be kind of okay. It should be fun, right? Interesting. And I hope that Craig is I don't know. Craig's going to have to suffer something for, you know, I feel like he's not just going to have a happy ending with this.
Oh. Jillian?
In more ways than one, huh?
I know, right?
There will be a climax at some point.
I like it. I do. I like it. Because when Nancy fought, I want to see a face off with him and Nancy so bad. Because bitch versus bitch. Like, coming. Game set. Tika Darbo ain't no punk, and neither is Greg Rickard. So this is going to be good. I'm so, you know, everybody keeps talking about, you know what I find funny about this whole storyline? I see a lot of people talking about, oh, you know, they're doing this because Nancy's plus size, and shame on them. They're body shaming. But you've noticed, true or false, you notice nobody is said anything like that on the show in any dialogue, right?
No.
So I'm like projecting too much. Y'all may need to lay on someone's couch along with Sarah Renee Dunant. So I'm like, y'all sound a little cuckoo with that. They're not doing that. This happens every day. Like if it was Anna and Tony, then y'all would have had a problem. If it was John and Marlena, you would have had a problem. If it was Patrick Kayla, you would have had a problem. Rafe, I'm like, that would have been interesting.
I like the idea, though.
It would have finally made Rafe interesting.
It would have made Rafe hella interesting.
Nancy is not a wallflower, and she won't be sitting by. In fact, she's going to cross paths with Bonnie. Which
maybe Rafe
I think
discovers
is
he's bisexual while in prison.
Like, here's, like, my thing is, Nancy, that was never an issue with Nancy before. It's not, Ron has not made this an issue now. So for people to try to make this an issue is ridiculous. You know, I saw some Twitter account try to like chastise Nancy for her looks and stuff. And I'm just like, see, you made it about looks. Craig never said it was about looks. And my thing is, I'm like, people keep forgetting Craig has always been on the make. So this is in his wheelhouse. It was later on in life when they got together and Chloe came in their lives and stuff was when Craig and Nancy really fell in love with each other. So I'm like, this don't bother me. But the Leo thing, I love it because, you know, Miss Leo wants to be that bitch, honey. Leo likes them coins, so... this is going to be real interesting.
The other interesting aspect to Nancy, which to me is going to be more fun, is her and Bonnie are going to cross paths. And
spoiling things.
Okay. Spoiler alert. Sorry.
Josh, what did you think of Craig and Leo?
I think I want to see how it plays out. First of all, anytime I get Greg Rickard as Leo on my screen, makes me very happy. I like Leo. I think he's got lots of good energy. I think for me, I mean, it makes sense because Leo is out there. Leo does not hide himself, and Craig has had to hide himself, so I can see where he would be attracted to Leo. And Leo is a schemer and a grifter, and that's why we love him. But
Nancy was a schemer and a grifter too.
Exactly. So I mean, it all makes sense to me.
I also I was going to say I like the part where he said to Chloe, I'm no saint either. I went and did this and whatever.
It provided a bit of humanity for him from that perspective.
I wouldn't say humanity. It's to remind the audience that he, you know, that Craig wasn't pure.
Right, it's but true. the thing about Craig is because Craig and Nancy haven't been on a lot in recent years, sometimes people can remember them for more of their caricature moments. And the thing that I think is being done really well right now is that for both Craig and Nancy, each of them are being humanized in their own way, and I think that's important for the character.
I have to say really fast that one of the things that always concerns me, but Days does this fairly well, is isolating a character like Leo who and not giving him someone who defends him or talks to him. Spoiler alert, next week, everybody goes in on Leo, and Brady tries to recruit John. And to get on board and help him convince Craig that Leo's horrible, and John backs Leo up.
Go ahead, John, because John, that's, see, That is in John's wheelhouse. So
absolutely.
The purist trying to be like, I can't believe John. That is how John is. He I mean, you see Sammy. Who he stepped on. You see, you say you'd bring it back to her, but I was going to do it for you. You see who his stepdaughter is? The queen bitch, supreme bitch. He always, Sammy put his child on the black market, and he still defends that heifer. So,
and it plays on the last time that he was in town because Leo and John thought they were father and son, and John stood up for Leo against Will and Marlena when they were bullying him in the square. And so I just think this is a fascinating little, not really father and son, but father and son is thing that we could have.
And I hope here. John reminds Brady with his smug ass.
Ooh,
bitch, you can't talk because you have a child. Well, who you got a kid with?
Kristen.
I don't mean
Teresa
other girl,
and
Teresa.
Kristen.
Shut up. I don't mean Teresa. Who you got a child with? Kristen, crazy ass Tamara. So, you know. I really want John to let him know, sir, this is really not your lesson to teach. You might want to step out the classroom.
Seriously.
Hey, Jillian, Victor was trying to teach Ashlyn Morrison this last week on The Young and the Restless. What did you think of them facing off?
That transition, I hate you. That was so cornball. Listen, I'm enjoying this because Ashlyn is showing Victor I ain't no punk. Like, he is really getting over on Victor. Nick is me with certain things. When they were like, when Victor was like, Ashlyn is playing your sister and I need your help. Nick is like, don't bring me in there. Because I tried to tell y'all this, but y'all went above and beyond to give this girl the perfect wedding to this fool. I tried to tell you. Nick really should do a walk. He needs to take a walk, like take his bow, because Nick tried to tell them. I'm like, dude, the only reason why Victor really cares, in my opinion, is because he's going to be co-CEO, even though, you know, he didn't know that part, but he knew that Ashlyn was too close to the driver's seat. But I love Victor and Ashlyn showdown.
When Victor raised his voice, I was like, ooh. He's raising his voice. He's yelling, and he said, "You got that on top of it,
listen,
Mike."
Listen, when Victor, his facial expressions when Ashlyn was trying to song and tap dance, like, I don't think Eric Braden means to do it, but his facial expressions are funny as shit.
They are.
He's just looking at Ashlyn like, look at this fool. Listen to this.
He's got that little smile on his face.
Yes.
Listen. YNR has been so boring for so long that when Victor went, "You got that," to Ashlyn, I squealed because it was just, I had so many historic memories.
Oh, and I loved Nikki. I loved Nikki stepping in.
Yes.
And I loved her telling Ashlyn why she had her concerns. And I loved her looking at Victoria and saying, "If you don't tell your father about this, I will." Right. And I was like, girl,
I
thought she was so good this week. And then she's like, her head was bouncing back and forth like she was watching a tennis tournament. And she was involved, and Victor was honest with her about everything that was going on, which I kind of like that because he sometimes hedges on the truth around her. So I thought it was nice to see Nikki back in there.
You guys think of the fact that this once again basically makes Victoria an idiot CEO?
Well, that's the problem that
I
have.
I don't think it's an idiot CEO thing. I don't have a problem with it. I don't think it's an idiot CEO thing. I think they're making with this interpretation of Victoria, because let's just be real, she don't have the chops to do it. This incarnation of Victoria, she's thinking business. She did think business. This was a lucrative thing. If she had kept it, Ashlyn, at the level where he was at, this would have been a game changer. But she's also thinking with her heart, like, oh, I want my husband to be equal. I want to be an equal. You know, my dad didn't make me an equal. He made me and my siblings fight. He didn't make us all equals. We had to fight and claw our way to the top. And
I don't mind them protecting Victoria's heart, so to speak. But I do think I would prefer it if Victoria had been in on this all along, and maybe that she was, the papers that she's going to sign are really the contract is something different than what Ashlyn is expecting.
Yeah, but
that's kind of what
I
was.
But
yeah, we'll
I don't
see.
You know, But I don't mind, you know, it doesn't make her a dumb CEO. It just makes her dumb in love. That I don't see as a CEO thing. It's just, she's just dumb in love. But, you know, Ashton's showing that he ain't no slouch. You see Michael Baldwin has disappeared. Him and the three doctors have gone, child. Yep. And I'm like, that's a Victor move right there, if I ever saw one. I actually enjoyed Y&R this week.
Me too.
I did not like the Jack Abbott woe is me hour.
That was frustrating.
Listen, I'm equal opportunity. Last week I said Felicia was a bum ass mother. Jack is a bum ass father. Yep. The fact that they're trying to make this all chemo and Jack just sat there and was like, I respected his wishes. Jack, you don't ever fucking respect anybody's wishes. That's the, like, I'm sad. I'm just over the sad sack of shit Jack. Oh, crying, moping, like, I'm like, is he Nicole Walker? Because I'm like, good Lord, I'm tired of Jack crying and sniveling. Jack was a shitty father with chemo, and Jack was a shitty father to Kyle. Only in these last few years did Jack ever step up to the plate and be a father to Kyle. The only kids that he was a good father to were those friggin' Newman kids.
Yep.
Yep. So this whole Jack, you know, and Phyllis, Jack, you're a good dad, Jack. I'm like, girl, shut up. I'm like, Phyllis, shut up. I was like, Phyllis, you talking out the side of your ass now. I'm like, what am I saying? You drugged Danny Romolotti and thought and made him think that Daniel was his. I'm like, you're nut burger. Like, no. Jack
Bud had a Jamie moment this week with Nikki.
Oh.
Tell him. So, I think it's hilarious.
Sometimes Melody Thomas Scott gets so Nikki that it sounds like Jamie. And this week she's in the office with Victoria and she goes, Victoria, what happened? And all I could hear was Jamie doing it. Like she gets so Nikki Newman that it's almost caricature Nikki Newman that it just made me laugh. I just heard Jamie going, Victoria, what happened? Made me laugh so hard. And all my Newmans, I thought all my Avons was on Bold and the Beautiful. All my Newmans is my favorite soap opera.
I also have to take notice of Sally and Adam. When Sally was just running down the field with the football and she's like, so if Victoria is distracted at the very least.
Yes.
And then this means that Victoria may not be able to run the company. And then Adam was like, she threw the pass and Adam's like, that's the $10 billion question. And I was like, oh, these two, they are peas in a pod. I love it.
It would be funny while he thinks to see, I think, that Adam thinks that he's going to run things, since we're going to circle back to the Newmans, even though we were talking about Jack. If Adam, I feel as though Adam thinks that he's going to be the one to run things. He's just going to slip in there. The gag will probably be Victor will probably be the one to slip back in that chair and tell her, I gave you the football and you fumbled at every turn, girl. So,
you know, he's already sitting in that seat.
Or you never know. He may be like, your brother Nick will be, you know, your brother Nick. He came. He was the one who first came with the foolishness with this Ashlyn Locke fool. Well, really, Billy. And he'd be like, you know, I ain't gonna let Billy run his mouth, let alone my company. Mm-hmm. So your brother deserves it. But no, back to this Jack thing. Like, oh, yeah. I'm annoyed that they're trying to, like, you're trying to, you know, I don't know what deal y'all made with Peter Bergman, but we're not here for it. We're not. Like, I thought it was just maybe us, and I see across the canvas, like, on all platforms, people are like, this is bullshit. Like, Jack trying to make it seem like chemo cut him out? Jack is the most intrusive person outside of Victor. So, the fact that your own blood, your own son, your firstborn. I'm like, give me a break here. I don't like it. I'm not here for it. And they need to stop. They need to stop. Jack needs to, you know, he needs to own up and, you know, come to terms with him being a bum ass dad. But, you know, I do, you know, they stopped that Jack and Victor feud. They don't have Victor and Jack, like, interact. Although the other day when Victor was like and Jack were talking about parenting and stuff, and Victor brings up to Jack, "You did leave me to die on the floor," and Jack was like, "I knew he was gonna bounce back." I thought that was funny, but they need to have Jack get involved in this Ashlyn thing. Like, for some reason, they act as though Jack never raised Victoria also. Like, him and Nick have a real closeness. You would think, I mean, I guess it's because she's Victor's, she's a daddy's girl. So that's why she's gravitating, you know, she's like, ugh, Jack. But they need to have a moment where when Jack finds out what happens, Jack needs to keep it a buck. He needs to just be like, wow, I can't believe someone got over on the mustache. But then you need to have Jack approach Ashlyn, say that, and say, but hear this. If I find out that you were lying about your illness, I'm coming for you too. And for Ashlyn to be like, this ain't got shit to do with you. Oh, on the contrary, you involved my son when you were playing those games with whatever that little boy's name is. And Harrison. I raised Harrison, and I raised Victoria. That girl, I still consider that girl like my own. And you trying to play games with not only her mind, but her heart, like something. Like, they just have Jack so islanded, and woe is me. I'm tired. I'm just like, God, like, I'm like, whatever. Like, this Jack, you see Victor still got his chops. They just made Jack so, ugh.
Final thought, Josh?
My final thought is on The Bold and the Beautiful. I didn't get a chance to say this. I thought this was a solid week, and I liked the confrontations. I liked Sheila versus Brooke. I liked Brooke versus Taylor. I liked Deacon going in on Ridge. I really liked the Deacon Hope scenes where they're kind of making fun of Ridge. When Deacon said, by the way, Stephanie and Eric should have course corrected that craziness over there a long time ago, I thought that was one of the best lines. And then him and Hope, I just thought there were good scenes with duos this week. And I was pretty happy with Bold and the Beautiful.
They didn't hyper-focus one thing. They rotated a lot of stuff into episodes, which I kind of liked.
Mike, final thought?
My final thought, I'm just going to say I enjoyed YNR this week.
Me too.
I like the corporate dynamic, but I also liked, and this has nothing to do with Dominic's storyline, but I do like the fact that we got a window into Chance's therapy session, because now you can kind of see what's making him tick and where he's coming from. And he's adding details to things that make it sound like he did something a little shady that he might feel guilty about. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
He used to be friends with Adam. That should be shade enough.
Jillian?
Luke, my final thought was CBS shows were pretty good this week. Soaps were pretty good for me. I don't know what's going on over at the iNetwork, but you know, they got their vitamin B12 shot. They need to keep on with it. I loved seeing Imani.
Yes.
This is what we need with Imani instead of Amanda. I'm like, Amanda's just a wash. I'm not saying get rid of her. She's just boring as fuck. And Imani had Amanda really is smelling herself, in my opinion.
Ooh, like, told her to basically sit there and look pretty.
Right, but she had the concerns that Devon had. She started talking about when she started listing the things, like who's going to be running things, da 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 da. Privately, you heard Devon say those same things. So that pissed me off. Like, she was right. There needs to be a power struggle. And she needs to be, like, venting to someone. I don't know who she needs to be venting to. Billy. Billy needs to be her sounding board. And those two need to get the hunch in.
Maybe they can get a podcast together.
No, I didn't mean that. I said they need to get the hunch in. Because there's no reason why this woman should not be on Story more. She has chemistry with everyone.
Ooh, she is gold. Gold, I tell you.
I don't want her messing with Devon. I don't want her messing with Devon. If anything, I would love for her to be, you know, for her to tear shit up where somehow Billy get close and she gets to hunching Billy or something.
They both feel like they're on the outside. Billy likes
they're on the outside.
Little white boy on the outside.
Right. And she has the, you know, she has the brains and the, you know, but her sister pats her on the head like how they do Billy, and they just wreck shop. I could see her going up, or she would demolish Lily. And I could see whenever they do the 10 millionth showdown between Adam and Billy, I could see her taking Adam on. I could see her taking Sally out. Like, come on, like this young lady.
I wouldn't even mind if she crossed paths with Chance.
On that note, we'd encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DC Confidential. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/DC Confidential. You can find me on Twitter at Luke_Kerr. Jillian is at Jillian Bo, and Josh is at Dr. Josh 09, and Mike is at MPJ24. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
So long.
Later.
Bye. Bye, y'all. Victoria, what's wrong?
Shut up.